those that are on Facebook, and those of you that are joining us on the Zoom and other electronic means, you might be getting it later, but you're going to get the word. Amen? So we bless the Lord and we thank him for this day. I want to begin a new study. I want us to look at this. It may be a couple of weeks. It may be a month. It may be 2 months. We don't know. But I want us as believers to learn how to go to extremes. I want you to learn how to go to extremes because we're experiencing extreme times. So why can't we be extreme believers? What's limiting us from sharing our faith and being bold in the things of God? We have to put on the whole armor. We have to make sure that we are following Christ in all the things that we do. And today I'm going to challenge you with a couple of things that you need to exercise in your life if you're going to reflect who you are in Christ. You need to reflect that. So the title of our message is Going to the Extreme. Going to the Extreme. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 5, verses 40 through 45. And if anyone sues you at the law, everybody say, uh-oh. If anyone sues you at the law and takes away your shirt, let him have your coat also. Wow. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to him that asks you, and do not turn away the ones that would borrow from you. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. You heard that, right? But I say, this is Jesus, I say, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Thank God for the reading of his word. May we be blessed as we receive it into our hearts. Father, thank you now for this privilege that we have of hearing your word and applying it to our lives. Bless us, Lord, that we might be good stewards of the word of God. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your righteousness and your power. Infuse us now with the word that we might carry out your command. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus pointed to extremes. Anyone that says they can do this, they're lying. They're lying. So if we can't do this, then why is Jesus telling us to do this? He's telling us to do this because he knows that when you rely on God, you can do all things. You cannot be a Christian without the power of God. I want to say that. I want to make that very clear. There are people that are trying to be a Christian and they're expressing it in different ways without the infusion and the energy and the movement of the Holy Spirit working in their life. When you were born again, you were not born of flesh and blood. You were born of the Spirit of God. His Spirit gets in you, and that's how you can carry out the things that God tells you to do. So why is Jesus pointing this out? I don't have time to get into the entirety of the Sermon on the Mount. But what Jesus was pointing to is the kingdom way of living, not man's way, not the church way, not the religious way. He was talking about the kingdom of God. What we've discovered in this pandemic is that you don't necessarily need a building to worship. We've discovered that you can find God on your iPad, on your device. You can find God when you read your Bible. You can find God when you get on your knees. You can find God if you're looking for him. You don't need a building. Now, thank God we've got a building and we want to take care of it, but that does not define our faith. What Jesus is saying, if you're going to be a follower, if you're going to be a believer, then you got to make sure that you're prepared to go to the extreme. I'll go through these things that he's bringing out in this, but let me just share with you the mentality, the thinking of a lot of people in our current age. We have what we call this what's in it for me philosophy. What's in it for me? It's sort of like being on a game show where you're up there competing and people do just about anything if they know they're going to win $1 million. They'll make a fool of themselves. They will subject themselves to physical strain and effort all so they can win some money. I watch some of these shows and I said, now let me see how far they're going to go on this mission that they have just to get a reward. And you don't even know if you're going to be in any shape to share it or to enjoy it after you get it. Hello. So people will go to the extreme because they feel that they have something to gain. Now, why go to the extreme in following Christ? Because you have something to gain. You have the eternal reward of God Almighty to gain when you trust him and when you do as he says. As we look at this, I was reading Patrick Moyle's book, Man in the Mirror, and he points to what he calls the cultural Christian. And cultural Christianity is more, it's nothing more than pursuing the God we want rather than the God who is. Morley says that this cultural Christian, they go through life and they want God to do this, they want God to do that, and so they trust God on the basis that he's going to do exactly what they want him to do. What's in it for me? What am I going to gain out of this? What Jesus did is flip that picture. He says, now you know that your Father is in heaven. If you're going to be the children of your heavenly Father, here's some things that not only do I want you to consider, I want you to do them. And I said when I read this, Lord, help us, Jesus. So he proposes to us these challenges, these things that if we do them, we will exemplify, not that we know how to get along with difficult folk. That's not the motivation to do that. Not that you can wear some type of halo. No. That's not what he's saying. If you are going to reflect who your heavenly Father is, that's the only thing that you're looking at. That's your only goal that you have in mind, and that is to please God. Anybody still in the house today? What I wanted to do as I read Jesus' words, and I've even preached it sometimes, where Jesus said, you've heard an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist evil, but if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. And I offered to God, I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do that. Let me give you a compromise. What I want to do, I'll let him strike me on one cheek and then I'll walk away. And that's called coexistence without contact. If I know you're going to knock out my tooth or you're going to do something to injure me, I'm going to avoid you. Isn't that what most people do? Okay, I won't get near them. Now, please understand, Jesus is not talking about taking physical abuse. He's not talking about that. He's talking about when people insult you. How many of y'all had folk to insult you? You dress up in your best clothes and then somebody gonna find fault. Who in the world they think they are? You doing the very best you can. Working a job that you don't like, but you working it because you know you need to. And people looking at you and judging you. You got a lot of folk that will judge you, that will insult you, and what you have to do is take the road, not the high road, but the Jesus road. So he says, when they insult you, don't return insult for insult. all of this bickering, all of this division that we have in our nation, if somebody would go back and read what it says in the Word of God, people will sit down and realize, listen, it doesn't matter which side of the spectrum you're on, we're all going to die and leave this world. We might as well find a way that we can live together in harmony. Because it doesn't matter, everything that man does is going to come to naught, but the kingdom of God lasts forever. Let me hurry up and preach this message here, because this is a good one. This is a good one. So Jesus simply said to me, I ain't buying your argument. Coexistence without contact is not the plan of God. That's not the way the kingdom of God works. It works on the basis of you turning the other cheek. So let me get this straight now. Here's Jesus saying, if they come and they slap you on one cheek, you turn the other one. Okay, I'm working on that, Jesus. that's a real challenge. That's a real challenge. You know, can you imagine that? Now, before that, the Jewish people and many in the Arab world, they said it's eye for eye. It's tooth for tooth. So no wonder you had a bunch of people that need dental work because, okay, how do you deal with this, Jesus? And what he's pointing to is that if you're going to be the children of the Father, then you've got to have a relationship with the Father. In this relationship that you have, you know, wait a minute, God wouldn't do that. Christ wouldn't do that. The ultimate example of one turning the other cheek is Jesus Christ himself. The ultimate example. But you know, I know you like me. Okay, God, I'm going to need something else because you're the high water mark. You're the perfect one, and I'm not there yet. Any real folk in here? I know we say, well, yeah, I pray. I'm going to need to pray a whole lot more on this issue. Y'all still here? So, there is an example, not just in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament. There's this man called Isaac. Isaac is the son of Abraham. And in the Arab world, if you lived in that region, water wells were very, very critical. If you dug a well, that was like, okay, in our language, winning the lottery, okay? I know some of y'all saying, dog, man, I played the wrong ticket. So to have a well with water in it meant that you were rich in a very precious resource. But guess what happened when Isaac began to redig the wells that his father Abraham owned? The Philistines would come. And they say, wait a minute, that well is mine. And they take it. Rather than get into a battle with them, Isaac would just go out and dig another well. And every time he dig a well, they come right back, either stop it up or stop him from using it. So what did he do? Dug another well. What am I saying? If you serve the living God, if God is your father, he's going to give you another well. If folks want to argue and complain about the old, let them have the well. Because God's got another one for you. If you always spend all of your time arguing over stuff and trying to get, amen, stuff that folk want, let them have it. If they insult you, just move on. God's got another well. Our society would be much better if people started betraying that. And sooner or later, the person who is being difficult, who is being unreasonable, they're going to say, wait a minute. You see, it's hard to argue with somebody who won't argue. Oh, bless God. That is shouting, amen. It's hard for you to do that. Jesus wants you to be a child of the Most High God. I know y'all saying, Rev, come on now, give us a break. I mean, you know, really? I'm going to show you the reason why in just a little bit, okay? So as we work our way through this, Jesus presents about four of these challenges. And I want to just go through this today because, like I said, we're going to have more Sundays that we talk about going to the extremes. How many of y'all ever went to the extreme of faith? How many of you have ever went to the extreme of just trusting God when there was nothing else that you could hold on to? I'm talking about going to the extreme. Some of you have been there, but what I want you to do is live there. I don't want you to reach that mountaintop every now and then. I want you to be there every day because that's what God expects of you. Do I have some witness? I feel my help coming on here. How many of you have ever been to the extremes of prayer? Amen. When you prayed so hard and so fervently and you said, God, I'm going to put it in your hands. You got to go to the extreme. This is not a comfort zone that we're living in. When I was serving in Korea, and Reverend Gibbons can attest to this, when we were serving in some of those countries, there was an enemy nation over here, and they had what was known as a demilitarized zone. And so in that zone, you're supposed to not cross over. You're not supposed to go there. But let me tell you something. In the spiritual realm, there's no DMZ. You're fighting every day. And if you're going to win this fight, you got to put on the armor of God. You got to fight like, amen, here I am talking about peace and then I'm talking about fighting. Isn't that something? But I'm talking about a different kind of warfare. I'm talking about your prayer, your faith, your believing God, your trusting, your loving, because that's the greatest weapon that the world has ever known, the weapon of love. And when you have that, you know that God is in control. So y'all ready for these challenges? I'm going to give you four challenges. Buckle up, because it's going to get rough. This is going to be a real bumpy ride here. So the first example that Jesus gives us is when somebody sues you. They're going to take you to court. Okay, we're going to court. First thing you want to do, if you're going to court, you got to have a defense plan. You got to take your statements and everything, and you got to make sure that you can present your side of it. So that when you come out of court, yeah, I win, they lose. Jesus says, get this now, if someone sues you, now again, Christianity is not about giving folk all your stuff. After a while, you ain't gonna have nothing to give, all right? But he says, if they want to take your shirt, give them your coat also. Wait a minute, Jesus. What if I ain't got but one shirt? But you got more than that. You cannot end a relationship over one shirt. Are y'all listening? Now, the example that he uses of God the Father, y'all getting mighty quiet in here. I'm just on number one. Really? Okay. So if someone sues you, wants your shirt, give them your coat also. Okay, what's that about? Well, going back to the example of Isaac. They took his well, he got another one. Now, that didn't mean that he didn't own that well, but the Philistines were just using it. Y'all missed that grid, Dana Mona. You ran on past the stop sign. He was the owner of that well, even though they were using it, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The enemy can't take away anything from you. They can use it. Go and use it. You want the shirt? Okay, you can use it. But sooner or later, it might come back rags, but it's coming back. What God says is yours, are y'all in the house? So he gives us this challenge. And the thing that we need to understand is that people, someone said, and I had to look up the word, they said we live in a litigious society. I had to look up the word litigious. That means when people sue you for any reason, anything. All right? And folks are just looking for an opportunity to get something for nothing. Again, the what's in it for me mentality. But you as a child of God, you as a child of God and wanting to walk the way of God, you're willing to sacrifice. Okay, if that's going to make for peace, then I'm going to do that. I know y'all saying, Rev, this ain't no motivational sermon. We ain't getting nothing because you're stopping your ears. But listen to what I'm going to tell you at the end of this thing, and it's going to really get you excited. Why would you bicker and argue over stuff that's only going to last for a little while anyway? Come on, somebody. Every shirt going to wear out. And you're going to have to go to the store and get a new one. And guess who's going to bless you to get a new shirt? I ain't like that shirt no way. I ain't like the coat neither. And guess what? God's going to send you. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. He knows that when you have acted based upon his word, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And God will bless you for it. So that's challenge number one. I ain't going to check it off because I'm still going to need the Holy Spirit to help me. Amen. I'm trying to deal with this thing, Jesus. I'm trying to be for real. But the fact is, if you're going to be children of the Most High God, this is what you need to have as far as your mindset. Tomorrow morning when you get dressed and go to work, everybody's not going to like you. You're going to meet people in traffic, and they ain't going to wave at you. No. They will take every opportunity to insult, to attack, and do everything else. Stay in your lane and bless God. If they don't wave at you, you wave at them. Hey, how you doing? Jesus gave us these challenges, and it's up to us to live as people of God. Another challenge that he gives to the believer, not only will people come and take away things that you have, but also people will come and they will smite you on the cheek. They will insult you. And certainly Jesus is not giving license to abuse, either verbally or physically. He's not giving license to that, but he's simply saying you're going to live in a world of insults. They called him a devil. Yet he knew who he was. And in these times where there are insults, you need to make sure that you have and you are walking in the power of God Almighty. In the book of Acts, we find that the disciples were simply trying to share the word of God, lead people to a trusting relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of that, they arrested them. Am I right? They put them in prison. But not only did they put them in prison, they beat them. Now, a lot of us, if that had happened in our life, I'm calling the NAACP. I'm calling the ACLU. I'm calling the governor because this ain't right. They didn't call anybody. They praised God. Acts 5 in verse 41, when they left out of that situation, the apostles considered it a joy and a privilege to suffer for the name of Jesus. Lord, have mercy. We need believers like that today. We need believers who will stand up and say, you know what, no matter what you throw my way, I'm still going to trust in God. So we've got to ask this question. Are we going to settle with, as Morley says, being a cultural Christian or a real one? Or will we be a ceremonial Christian, knowing God on Sunday morning? I think you've learned this lesson through COVID. Amen. COVID done taught you a lesson. You need to sing that song, Lord, I need thee every hour. I need to see God every day. Not just on Sunday, but every day, because I don't know who got COVID. Amen, somebody. But when you're walking in the armor and the protection of God, you don't worry about it. Because he didn't bring you this far. Are y'all gonna let me preach? To leave you now. Somebody said he walks with me. He talks with me and tells me I am his own. I can remember my grandma and Aunt Mabel getting in the back porch. It wasn't Sunday. It was wash day. And they would get the tubs and they would wash the clothes with that old hand thing that they would scrub the clothes on. I know y'all saying, Rev, you old. No, we were just that poor. We didn't have a washing machine. Hello. And they would start singing praises unto God. And that's what Jesus is telling us. We need to live that abundant life of praise right here and right now and not allow the circumstances of life to weigh us down. One thing I don't do, I don't watch a lot of news before I go to bed. If I don't watch it at 6 o'clock, I don't watch it at 11. I ain't going to sleep with that mess on my mind. I can't solve it anyway. All I say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, Jesus. Are y'all still in the house? So Jesus gives us the challenge of turning the other cheek. When someone sues us, we don't have retribution. we instead give them our coat also. I know y'all saying, all right, okay, Reb, we think we can do that. Here's the tough one. The first two had to deal with giving up stuff, okay, and swallowing your pride when you know you've been shamed, as folks say. But here's the next one. If someone compels you to go 1 mile, go with them too. That's called endurance. And when I read that one, I said, I need thee every hour. Because I'm telling you, this is a rough one. In the Roman occupation in the time of Christ, any soldier could come up to you and say, here, take my load and carry it a mile. You had to obey it because it was Roman law and you were in the Roman Empire. So Jesus addressing that, he's not telling the people, protest. No, you need to speak up against that. That load is too heavy. After all, you on disability. Y'all missed that. Y'all so serious. Jesus said, no, if they compel you to go 1 mile, take the load and go too. I said, Lord, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Okay, so how do you do that? First of all, if you are with a person on 1 mile and they see you not rejecting it, but you're accepting that, that's the first mile. But then when they say, okay, you can put it down now, you say, no, let's walk on. Because I'm fitting to tell you about my Lord. If I'm going to go 1 mile, I'm going to tell you about the man who gave me strength to make that first one. Are y'all still here? When we begin to sacrifice and when we say, I am not giving into the world system, if they want me to go 1 mile, I have the endurance, I have the, matter of fact, some of y'all have already been the extra mile. You got folks in your family that anybody else would have written off a long time ago, and you're already on the second mile, third mile, fourth mile. You going the distance with them because you don't know how to give up. Y'all mighty quiet in here. Y'all mighty quiet. But you know who's helping you? The grace and the power of God. The mercy and the love of God. If you keep that in your heart, God will give you that ability to go to the extreme. In April 2014, it's documented that a child was kidnapped in Atlanta. But this was no ordinary child. This is what we call a second mile child. I didn't mean that to be poetic, but that's just the way it is. Second mile child. When these kidnappers got that child into the vehicle that they were traveling, rather than that baby, nine years old, rather than them going all to pieces, they started singing this song. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. And the first mile, it was okay. But when that child kept on singing, guess what these kidnappers did? They put the kid out. We can't deal with this. Amen. We thought we were going to get a reward, but what we got was God Almighty. Do I have some witnesses here? So if you can praise God on that first mile, on that second mile, and however the distance is, God will give you the ability. See, the point is that you will be the children of the Most High God. Now, here's how God puts it. He said, I send my rain on the just and on the unjust. I don't discriminate. I let my sun shine on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Why? Because he's God. And when people look at you and say, how did they do it? Because you belong to God and you got God in you. If you got God in you, you know the verse, Philippians 4:13. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who does what? Who does what? He can strengthen you. You don't know what you can take until you've gone to your extreme. When you go to your extreme, then you can say, Lord, I couldn't do it, but the Lord God Almighty is working through me. There's a second reason why you can go that extra mile. You can go the extra mile because you remember what God has meant to you and what he's done for you. when you begin to reflect on the goodness of God and how the Lord went the distance, when he took upon him your sin and went to Calvary, he didn't go part the way, he went all the way. And if you're going to be obedient to God and you're going to listen to the Spirit of Christ, you will be able to reflect on the fact, well, God's been good to me. I can do this because the Lord has done that. I can move on because the Lord is living in my life. I can serve because the Lord has given me the ability to serve. Anybody in the house? You'd be surprised what you can do, amen, if you just allow God to work through you. Matter of fact, can I remind you, you wouldn't have made it this far if it had not been for the Lord. Amen. You would have given up a long time ago, but the Lord took care of you. God made a way for you. God provided for you. And I'm telling you, he's the same God today. He loves you dearly. As a matter of fact, he loved you so much that God said, I'm not going to stay in heaven. I'm going to go down and check on him. Not only am I going to check on him, he said, now, if you let me live at your house at the end of your life, I'll let you live in mine. Do I have some witnesses here? But there's a third factor, and I'm closing with this. There's a third factor. Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. I'll not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. And when he comes to us, the power of the Holy Spirit provides for what we call the anointing or the unction. Sometimes when you don't want to do stuff, which is me, a lot of times I tell the Lord, I don't want to do this. You're lying to God. He knows your heart. Lord, I ain't going to do it. Then he never get it done. I go on telling him first, Lord, I don't want to do this. But then something on the inside gets to moving inside of you. Jeremiah said it just like fire shut up in your bone. And when you say, if you give me strength, Lord, I'll do it. The prompting, the pushing of the Holy Spirit, he begins to push in your life. Stuff that you thought you couldn't do, I got pushed. And I'm going to cut the sermon off right now because that's next week. How the anointing works so that you and I can go to the extreme. God bless you. Y'all getting something? Amen. Now, I want to close this message today. Don't just go on the comments that I made to you today. Go back and read the verse for yourself. And see, won't God tell you, you need to go to the extreme. Those of you that are joining us online and Facebook, go to the extreme. Those on Zoom, you need to go to the extreme and let God use you in a special way. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I want to say that this is one of the toughest messages I've preached because I don't want to say I'm a hypocrite, but I do want to say I haven't done this. Not all of it. And I could do none of it without you. So I confess, Lord, my shortcomings. And I ask that you would help me, because if I'm to reflect who you are, your nature and your character, then God, I accept this challenge. I want to go to the extreme. And for those of you that are listening in here today, if you've never gone to the extreme, it starts at the foot of the cross. It starts by trusting Jesus. It starts by allowing the Holy Spirit to move you in the way that God would have you to go. Trust him today. Believe him today. Don't just let God bless you. Let God use you. In Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you.